Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi. Today is Tuesday, May the 14th, 2024. It's the seventh Tuesday in the season of Easter. We are almost at Pentecost, and it's also the feast of the 12th apostle after Judas, meaning the 13th apostle, however you want to look at it, St. Matthias, the one who replaced Judas. Today's reading is from the Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." So we are continuing this section of John's Gospel now that we're getting ready for Pentecost. Up until now, we were getting ready for the Ascension. And this section of John's Gospel, John 14, 15, and 16, they have a lot to do with unity, friendship. There's the image of the vine and the branches. Jesus, this is at the Last Supper. John's Last Supper discourse goes for a very long time in his gospel, and Jesus is praying for his church that he is establishing. If ever you're in a parish council and you're looking for a mission statement, and you're thinking it has something to do with pretzel sales and hoagie sales, or presenting the church in a certain way to the society around you, the reality is we already have a mission statement, Jesus, and we largely read it today. I mean, Jesus tells us what our mission is. Probably the best mission statement is at the end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus says, "Go out into the world, baptize everyone, preach the good news to everyone." I mean, baptize as many who are willing to be baptized, of course. But he says, heal the sick, drive out demons. This is also what he says to his disciples when he sends them out two by two. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what our mission is. And in these chapters of John's gospel, it's about the reality of the church, what the church is supposed to be. I think people get sick and tired and they roll their eyes when they even hear the word church. And that's a shame. It's a shame on both ends, for the givers and the receivers. It's a shame because people have come to associate the church with perhaps leadership that's out of touch with its people, just like Jesus talked about the Pharisees in his day. Sometimes people think about the church as a organization that's always asking for money, and I'm not saying that's fully a bad thing. There's money that's needed for the sake of charity and this and that and running the church. But also people think of the church as this organization of men, man-made. And I don't fully believe that. It's God and man at work together. But it's this man-made organization that they think of that's just telling us all what to do and how to live our lives. And once again, out of touch with our current fads. I mean with the current issues of the day. I say that tongue-in-cheek because a lot of people want the church to just cater to the fads when people don't have the wisdom to realize that the church has the wisdom, collective wisdom of 2,000 years, plus inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to say, okay, this particular thing right now is just a fad. It will fizzle out. We need to stay the course. And what is the course? Being faithful to the teachings of Jesus and trying to win over as many converts as we can. But it's so much more than that. Even the way I just said that is very Pelagian. It's very human-centered. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking about what the church really is. And that is, it's a communio, a communion, based on Jesus making himself present to us. And through that communion with Jesus, we become one with one another. But even more importantly, we become one with the Father through Jesus. Mary, as the mother, is very involved in this communion. Every family needs a mother. She's the mother of the family, and she prays constantly for us that we are united. With all that in mind, I wanted to just focus, whenever I read John 15, and right around those verses, 13, 14, and 15, I like to just talk about friendship. Friendship is such an important thing. It's a very important thing in my life, and I want to be a little bold here today to say, just like I had just said earlier, because it's very theologically correct to say the essence of the church is communio, communion, I'd like to say it in a little bit of a different way today, based on Jesus' words, the essence of the church is friendship. The essence of the church is friendship. So first we need to define what friendship is. Jesus tells us, love one another. Notice he says it differently here. Love one another. That means you all in front of me love each other. That's friendship. It's different, a little bit different than the golden rule. Even the golden rule, however, calls one another our neighbor. Yet, Jesus does speak in other places of loving your enemy. Notice, your enemy is not your friend. Jesus tells us to love our enemy. Does that mean your enemy becomes your friend? In some cases. But I'd like to refer to some of the different saints and some even characters from the Bible that are noted for their friendships. And I want to begin with a great saint from the, I believe it's the 12th or 13th century, Aelred of Ravaux. He was a contemporary of Saint Bernard, he was the second person in charge of the Cistercians, which is a reform movement of the Benedictine order. The Cistercians were founded by William of Citeaux, but then it was Benedict who joined soon after he founded the order, Bernard, who really recruited many people and founded many monasteries and was very, very successful. And then after tons of success with monastic life and founding monasteries all over the place, really re-evangelizing the country of France by establishing all these monasteries, just like Patrick had done in Ireland and Boniface in Germany and so many others. Then he was called upon by the Vatican to be a diplomat because he was just so good with people. Anyway, with this explosion of the Cistercian order in the 12th and 13th century, we have a particular member by the name of Aelred of Ravaux, who is now also a saint, and he wrote what's called a treatise on friendship. In this treatise, he says many things. One thing I want to focus on is that he says friendship and love are not the same thing. Not exactly. Friendship is a type of love. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, love God above all things, and he even says, love your enemy. In order to get into heaven, we have to love our enemy. We have to be ready for heaven. There's going to be people in heaven that maybe on earth we thought, oh, I hope I don't have to spend eternity with him. And yet in heaven, so our hearts have to get ready for that. We're not ready. In heaven, there are no enemies. You have to love everybody. So yes, in that sense, your enemy becomes your friend. And in heaven, there is 100% friendship. 100%. And this is why I say the church, the essence of the church is friendship. Aelred says, the difference between love and friendship is that love is something you owe to everyone. What does that mean? It means forgiveness. It means wishing well to the other person and actually working towards the good of the other. It means charity to those in need, whether they be sick, whether they be hungry, whether they be naked in prison. We know the story. We've heard the parable of the sheep and the goats. So when it comes to love, we are called to love everyone. And it's so difficult. It can be difficult. But this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, that we're praying for the Holy Spirit to come in abundance in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit did come in abundance the first Pentecost, but we renew it every year. We celebrate the feast and we beg the Lord to continue to send us his Spirit in great abundance. So the Spirit makes it possible to love our enemies. The thing is, when you love your enemy, and this is where when people come for particular advice about their lives, this is where the struggle is. And so this is one of the things I often say to people in direction. Forgiving your enemy is not the same thing as reconciling with your enemy. Now, Jesus does talk about being reconciled with your brother before you offer your gift at the altar. Now, is everyone my brother? Yes. But we are making a distinction here. And once again, this is according to the teachings of St. Elred. There's this distinction between everybody in the world and those called to be our friends. What is the distinction? I may have been harmed by someone who is mentally ill. Now, that's a charitable thing to say. Sometimes people think, oh, that's so horrible. You called that person mentally ill. Mentally ill is a far better thing to say, morally speaking, than to say, oh, that person's just evil. Let's just say we're talking about somebody that's just pure evil. All right, let's take it there. If someone hurts me, and it's not possible for us to be friends, because that person is not worthy of my trust. And Aylred gets into this. For a true friendship to happen, there has to be trust. But if someone's not going to earn my trust, either because they don't desire to do right by me, or in the case of mentally ill, maybe they're not capable of doing right by me. But regardless of what it is, I cannot have a friendship with that person, but I'm still called to love them. I'm still called to forgive them. So in many, many cases in our lives, we're called to forgive the person that hurt us, but that doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. That doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. I know it's more difficult when we're dealing with parents and siblings and children. Cousins, aunts, and uncles. That can be more difficult because you might still have to see them. So therefore, you need to really have a good conversation and really work on your personal boundaries. It is not the teaching of Jesus that you continue to submit to abuse. Jesus chose to die on the cross. Jesus, at one point in his life, because it was his mission, he submitted to the abuse of the Pharisees, and then the Roman soldiers. He submitted himself to that because it was the mission. Jesus does not tell us you must submit yourself to abuse on a regular basis. He says you must forgive them. But he does not say, and this is where the saints now get into this about friendship. Friendship is different than love. Love means I show love to people that in need, either by offering them forgiveness. If there's a homeless person and I help the person out, that doesn't mean I'm called to be their friend. Especially, once again, if that person has a mental illness, an addiction, this and that, I am called to show kindness and charity. Maybe I have nothing to give at that moment. I still maybe offer them a prayer. Maybe I do have something to give. Practically speaking, we're not supposed to give money to people on the street. That's what I've been told in different places where I've worked, but maybe you can give them something to eat. I don't know, you know, whatever. But it doesn't mean you're called to be their friend. So Aylred says that friendship is something that exists between particular people. God sends friends into our lives. God calls us to be a friend. He says friendship is a virtue, but it's something, unlike love, it's something that we owe to particular people. Now, why am I saying this is the essence of the church and not love? Well, once again, friendship is a type of love, so I didn't exactly say that. But that general sense of love is something we owe everyone. And a lot of times I think of that in terms of the church's missionary objectives. As a missionary church, we are called to love everyone, meaning we certainly don't hurt them. But we forgive, we offer forgiveness, we offer healing, we offer food to the hungry. We offer people membership in the church. At the same time, there are times in Scripture, in the Acts of the Apostles and the writings of St. Paul, where it says that he ostracized people. Religious leaders ostracize people, and that's God's will to do that because the person is harmful to the flock. And when they're ready to come back, when they have repented, then it's okay. Then we can let them back in. There are many, many people today who we are not serving by not ostracizing them. To say to a person who's living in sin or pro-abortion, yeah, it's okay. Even though you're publicly pro-abortion, you can still be a lector or an extraordinary minister of communion. No, that's not helping them and that's not helping the church. That's called scandal. So sometimes we are called to ostracize people. But we still offer them love and forgiveness. and we offer them a place in the church through reconciliation. So love is something we offer to everyone. Friendship is something we offer to fewer, a fewer number, a smaller number, and that is people who have earned our trust. It's true, we're all weak, we fall, we fail, we make mistakes, but is a person trying? Do you have a friend that has hurt you, but they're sorry and they're trying to be your friend? Well, okay. Elred would say, okay, well, you know, in each case, we need to test to see if the person is trustworthy. And if they have broken our trust, we don't have to be their friend. It has to do with maturity. It's a growth in how we feel about ourselves, how we treat ourselves, but also how we are capable of interacting with each other. So to speak of friendship as the essence of the church, getting back to my original point, in John 15, Jesus calls us all to friendship with him. That's the primary essence of the church, and through him to the Father. Some people just want to have charity, just love in a very vague, general sense between us and God. Like, okay, I made a sign of a cross. Okay, I go to church once in a while. Okay, I put out a manger scene at Christmas time. Okay, we occasionally watch a religious show on TV. Look at me, look how close I am to God. That's not friendship. That's a very vague, general sense of love. And the thing is, God's calling us to love him above all things. The only proper love of God is to love above all things, which means the only proper love of God is a love of friendship, which is committed, which is 100%, which God never fails. So therefore, when we have failed, we seek reconciliation. We come back. And he always welcomes us back. See, God doesn't need the same boundaries that we need because we really can't hurt him. Our sins have hurt him by his death on the cross, but... And yes, I mean, it's true. We want to stop sinning for that reason more than anything else. We don't want to be guilty of any other thing that caused Jesus to die and suffer so much. We want to make amends. We want to repair the damage. But when it comes to all the other members of the church, once again, when you're in your parish council meeting and they're talking about programs and plans, what it needs to be more about for the good of the parish, for the good of the local church, is how do we form friendship with the people around us. Once again, a lot of people are not going to want that friendship. They're going to want to compromise in many ways. But how do we form friendship? In other words, building up people's friendship with God, and then through that, secondarily, we have friendship with one another, that fellowship, where we come together, we pray together, we have meals together, we get to know each other, we get involved in other people's lives. One thing, I mean, I'm Catholic through and through. I love my Catholic faith. I love the teachings of the Catholic Church. But sometimes when I see maybe a small Protestant community, okay, would I go to that Protestant church? I probably wouldn't because they don't have the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, which is my heart and my soul. It's the most important thing to me in the whole world, having the Eucharist. But you know, sometimes, and of course there's other things, differences in our beliefs, but sometimes you go to a Catholic church and it's so big and it's such a business. And that's such a turnoff. And then you go to a small Protestant church where everybody knows everybody else's name, where somebody dies and everybody shows up at the funeral, where someone in the church is sick and everyone comes to visit and they pray for that person, where someone is maybe homeless for some reason and everybody reaches out to that person in charity. That's the essence of the church, friendship. So how do we maintain our Catholic beliefs, but at the same time grow in friendship? First, friendship with God through prayer, and secondarily, friendship with one another, building up a community. It can be hard to do when we've gotten too top-heavy. We need to start at the bottom again. We need to start at grassroots again while maintaining all of our traditions and beliefs. So it's something for us to pray about. It's something for us to think about. In the writings of so many, Thomas Aquinas, St. Basil, St. Gregory, St. Francis de Sales, St. John Paul II, they talk about friendship. They talk about how important it is. You might not be friends with the 4,000 families in your parish, but do you have a prayer group? Do you have a small group of people who are your friends based on the fact that you share the same beliefs? based on the fact that you love Jesus together, and therefore you're building each other up in love. You're consoling each other. You're encouraging each other. Sometimes you're correcting each other. It's so very, very important. When the Blessed Mother appears, she constantly talks about this. Prayer building peace. Prayer gives you peace in your heart, but even more so, well, in addition to that, it gives you peace among other people. She asks constantly for family prayer. This is something we constantly emphasize in the church, that families pray together. And statistics even show that the family that prays together stays together. When families pray, there's a much greater success rate. There's a much greater rate of unity. We see so many good families that pray together regularly that there's just a supernatural love that they're given from God that keeps them together, that builds them up. Of course, as we celebrate today the Feast of St. Matthias, the apostle that was chosen to replace Judas, we remember the apostles. And if anybody's watching The Chosen, once again, is The Chosen a perfect show? No, it's not supposed to be perfect. But is it a good show that teaches us about, oh, look at these are people that lived with Jesus, and yet they're struggling. On a human level, they're struggling, and yet Jesus brings about a greater unity among them. These apostles, they're proof for the validity of our faith and of the church, because these men were failures in so many ways, and they can't even succeed in their relationships, and yet Jesus brings them together. He purifies them. He makes them more and more like unto himself. Little by little, more and more, they're forming this fellowship, these bonds of friendship that are going to be the foundation of a church that lasts at least 2,000 years. Jesus can do that. And so for us, we need to just keep working at this, that we form that friendship with God, realize it is a friendship. It's not a status symbol. It's not something like an accomplishment, like, oh, I have my sports, I have my involvements, I have my job, I have my family. I mean, although family is a lot more than just an accomplishment, but still, faith needs to be first. Even before family is my relationship with God, because God is the glue that brings the family together. It's meant to be a friendship. Our relationships in the church are meant to be a friendship. If we're striving to grow in our faith, it's not enough that we go to church Sunday, that we say prayers throughout the week. God calls us into it. And I know sometimes I say things like this and people think, oh, he's trying to load heavier burdens on our backs. I'm just telling you what the essence of the church is. The essence of the church is communio. It's people united together in love around Jesus. That's why we call it communion when we receive communion. So our Lord is asking us to look for the people he is putting in our lives to be our friends, to encourage us, to support us, to be our family in the Lord. And these are people, at the very least, these people are the ones that we are meant to spend eternity with. So it's good to start practicing right now. And in heaven, we'll meet so many more friends. But still, this faith of ours is a great adventure. And as the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and part of that adventure is all the people we're going to meet along the way. And really, the more people we meet, the more friends we make. I'm speaking for myself, the more I am just so impressed with the goodness of Almighty God. Look at these people he has made, and look at just all the gifts he has given to the human race. On that note, have a great day. God bless you.